I think every share we do is fun. It's interesting, it's fun, but today's share might be even more fun. Now, I looked at the calendar, and I saw today's date is Pesach Sheni. So, first I was thinking, is there enough material to give a share on Pesach, about Pesach Sheni? I don't know, do we say Tachnon, do we don't say Tachnon? This, that, not so much material. Definitely not for an hour share. Then I was looking at the Parsha, Parsha's Emor. Beginning of the Parsha talks about a Kohen, Bimin Tame, that he's only allowed to do it for the Krovim, but not for any other person. It's mitzvah. And then it hit me that there's a common theme between Pesach Sheni and yesterday's Parsha, Parsha's Emor. The common theme is Tumah. We know the whole institution of Pesach Sheni was someone who was Tameh and couldn't bring the Karban Pesach Bizmano. So that's why, very interesting, we don't really have this in so many other places in the Torah, the concept of a makeup. You weren't able to bring the Karban Pesach on the first Pesach. We have a makeup, a beautiful concept of Pesach Sheni. But the reasoning is behind the fact is because a person's tame. Yesterday's Parsha also talked about Tumah. So I decided, you know what? I'll do something that involves Tumah. Now, for the most of us, right? Okay, Kohanim excluded, Tumah doesn't really play a role. So I decided, okay, great. I came across a question, which is quite interesting question, involving Eliyahu HaNavi. Now, as a preface to this share, Eliyahu HaNavi is quite a fascinating topic unto itself. Maybe one day I should give a share just on Eliyahu HaNavi. Who was Eliyahu HaNavi? Was he man? Was he malach? Was he both? And there are differing shitas.
Why do you say was?
Who is Eliyahu HaNavi? Thank you. Eliyahu HaNavi could be sitting here right now, as we know it.
I'm
Eliyahu. Yeah.
I'm traveling incognito.
There are different people in life that experienced amazing events, and they're pretty sure that that person was Eliyahu HaNavi. I've had people swear to me that they must have met Eliyahu HaNavi, and there's such a concept that Eliyahu HaNavi could exist in this world in some form or another. We know Eliyahu HaNavi comes to every bris. We know he takes a sip of his kos on Pesach night. He gets around, yes. But for all purposes, for today's share, as we'll see soon from the Gemara and Baba Metzia, we're assuming that Eliyahu HaNavi is a person subject to halachas just like everybody else. Okay, there might be another side to Eliyahu HaNavi, also might be a malach. But today's share is treating Eliyahu HaNavi as a person subject to dinim in the Torah. That being said, I'd like to begin with a story in Tanakh. People are quite familiar with the story, though sometimes people confuse it with the story with Eliyahu HaNavi's Talmud Elisha or other stories with Eliyahu. Actually, towards the beginning of the introduction to Eliyahu HaNavi, Perek Yud Zayin in Sefer Malachim Aleph talks about, this is right before the whole major episode Perek Yud Ches, which happens to be my Bar Mitzvah Haftorah, Parshas Kisisa, where you have Eliyahu Bahar Carmel, where he has a showdown, and the good guys win, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. Perek before that introduces us to Eliyahu HaNavi, and Hashem sort of sets up for him a place to live by this almana. And Eliyahu spends time with her. She at first has no money, has no means, she thinks, to support Eliyahu. And Eliyahu gives her a bracha, and she has more than enough. to support him. Everything's great. Then, unfortunately, this almana has one child who dies. And Eliyahu is summoned to see what he could do. The woman has hard feelings that here she's supporting this Navi Hashem, and all of a sudden this happens to her. It's two different pirushim. One parish is she felt that she was judged with Midas Adin because comparing her to Eliyahu HaNavi, she can't compare, and maybe that brought about the Midas Adin, which killed her child. Alternatively, the Mefarshim learn that she was afraid maybe she has this Navi in her house and she's supposed to take care of him. Maybe she didn't live up to her responsibilities. So Hashem brought Eliyahu to her house. Nice thing, but it's causing her pain. It's killing her only child. And I put a few psukim on the sheet. I'll quickly go through them. So Eliyahu Navi comes into the room with the child. Vayikra El Hashem, and Eliyahu Navi calls out to Hashem, Vayomer Hashem, Okoy, Hagama Almana Shani Mizgarima. Even to this widow that I'm living by, Hey Rasel, you did bad, Lahamis has been not to kill a child. Vayismodi Al Yel Shalosh Pamim. And he measured himself, he laid on top of this child three times, Vayikra El Hashem, Vayomer. Okay, Toshivna Nefesh Ayel Azel Kirpo. Hashem, give life back to this child. Vayishma Hashem Bekol Eliyahu. Vatoshiv Nefesh Ayel Al Kirpo Vayachi. Dramatic miracle Eliyahu Navi brought about. He brought back this child to life. And Pashup Shah, definitely in Navi, it was absolute nes. He revived, performed Tchias HaMesim on this child. Now, Tosvos in Baba Metzia, this is Kuf Yudal Mabez, has a question. A very, very interesting question. Tema Lari, it's right in the middle of your sheets. How did Eliyahu Navi do Tchias HaMesim relive this child of the Amana? Kivan Shekohen Haya. Eliyahu Navi was a Kohen. Dixiv Vayismodel El Yelad. How could he lay on top of this child and revive him? He's touching a child who's dead. That's Tumas Mace. Eliyahu is a Kohen. How could he do such a thing? Fascinating, fascinating question. Amazing miracle Eliyahu Navi performed. But the Bali Tosa will say halakhically, how was he able to do this? Obviously the Bali Tosas are assuming Eliyahu Navi is not a malach. He's not just some being that is able to just ignore halachos. Not true. Eliyahu Navi is subject to halacha. So if the halacha is this Tumas Meisir and he's a Kohen, how is Eliyahu Navi able to do this?
He's not a
Kohen. Huh? Maybe he's not a Kohen. Satosis is assuming, right? There are many shitas like this. Right? Eliyahu Navi was Pinchas. Pinchas was a Kohen. So, yeah.
He was the only one able to do it.
Oh, interesting point. Right? We'll talk about that potential answer. But how can Eliyahu Navi do this? Now, really, I fully wanted to get into this topic, but it's interesting. You know, there's Midrashim, there are Chazals, that Eliyahu Navi is going to come to do Tchias HaMesim, times of Mashiach, is going to come Yerushalayim towards Har Zeisim and do Tchias HaMesim. So what did our good cousins go and do? They put a whole cemetery right across from Har Zeisim. They figured that will stop Eliyahu Navi. Well, we'll see. Eliyahu Navi has ways to get around things. Right? We'll have to see how. Right? Perhaps. Now, there are multiple terutzim given to this question of Tosfos. I'm going to leave Tosfos' own answer for last. I came across probably more than half a dozen answers to this question. And they touch on interesting halachas. So I'm going to go through a few. Okay, so the question today, how do we understand how Eliyahu Navi was Mechayeh Mesim? He's a Kohen. A Kohen can't be Metamer L'Meis. So the first answer I'd like to share is from the Shita Mekubetzes, right? The Shita there in Baba Metzia deals with this question, and he gives simple answer. His answer he gives is, you know what? This child wasn't really dead. The child was in a state you'd call a gosis. He's sort of in between life and death, but he's not fully dead yet. Being the fact he wasn't fully dead, there are shitas, that a Kohen could be metame for a gosis. The Tumah's not yet there. A Kohen is allowed to be around for a gosis. And if that's so there's nothing wrong with Eliyahu doing, reviving the child. Because the child wasn't fully dead. It's interesting. They ask a similar question, Eliyahu Navi, in his first identity as Pinchas. The famous mice that the Torah talks about of Pinchas killing Zimri, the Mefarshim over there ask, how could Pinchas go and kill Zimri? He's a Kohen. He's a Kohen. So if he's a Kohen, and coming in contact with them as they're dying, he's killing them, he's touching them, as he's dying, it's Tamei Meis. How can he do it? Now, there for sure you have the answer that someone suggested that, hey, he's the only one to do it. Right? I believe it's a good answer. Some people want to say, look, he's the only one, especially by the case of Pinchas, right? It was the halach of Kanayim Pogimbo. He was, don't try this one at home, usually Kanayis does not really fulfill any of the halachos. I remember I got into a nice discussion this past summer with some, let's just call it, overzealous children in Israel, leave out their description, but who were vehemently against a poster on the side of a bus and were doing some things to it, and they're claiming to me they're a kanai. So I said, you know, the halachos of kanais. I guess I was a kanai to start up with these kids. But I said, you know, there's some halachos, like you have to have like avas Hashem and yiras Hashem flowing through your veins. I said, I see, you know, the yiras onish or whatever, but I don't see the avas Hashem exactly. So they're halachos. Eliyahu might have been the only person, Pinchas might have been the only person able to do this action. So okay, fine. But, okay, there are people that compare it even to like a dinner of Neis Mitzvah. But, what's pshat? So, the Bali Tosos over there in Parshas Pinchas also learned the same idea as the Shita Mekubetzes over here in Bava Metzia. That we have to say the case was by Pinchas, he didn't fully kill Zimri, that he was already a dead person. Rather, he left him in this gosei state. He stabbed him, he hit him, but he wasn't yet dead. And being the fact he wasn't yet dead, Pinchas Eliyahu could escape stage left, and everything's good. So that's the answer of the Shita Mekubetzes. Yes?
Wasn't Pinchas' status in question still at that point? Because right after that was when his status was confirmed.
So that is another answer the Rishonim say over there. In some ways, that question by Pinchas might be an easier question to answer than Eliyahu. some Mefarshim learn exactly what you just said, that the full status of a Kohen was not put on Pinchas until after the act of Zimri. Now, that's debatable, because really the anointment of the Beis HaMikdash really happened before that, but there are some that give that answer too. But for sure, here, it's this much stronger question. We know for sure by this time, Eliyahu for sure was a Kohen. And, okay, if he was a Kohen, how come you're talking about a mace? The answer is, it wasn't a mace. Great answer. No? Yeah? Right?
He just did CPR.
Okay.
That's what it boils down to. There's no, I don't did Chiesa Mason. I don't know what this whole Chiesa Mason thing. The guy's dead, he's dead. And this is, according to the sheet, that he just revived.
Okay,
he
you're right.
Mouth to mouth. I don't know what he did there.
Right. So, I found, even Rishonim, the Radvaz, others, they challenge this answer simply from the Pesukim. Look at the psukim. The psukim over here are clearly mashma, the child has died. Right? Eliyahu is davening to Hashem, invoking the fact of Lomar Hiriosa, the Hamis Espina, the killer child. To read that, they were talking about that he's almost dead. It's not the simple reading of the psukim. The simple psukim over there in Navi imply that we're talking about somebody who passed away. Right? Vatashav nefesh ha-yelod ha-kir bava-yafi. So these psukim are clearly mashma, the child died, which would invalidate, really, this answer of the Shita Mukabetzes.
There are a lot of places where the concept of he died, we were talking about this yesterday, Rabbi Shapiro, and Bashir, and Jasmine, were saying that doesn't necessarily mean die means appear to die, die means
okay.
Emotionally die. It doesn't necessarily mean physically die.
Okay,
what about people who died in Mitzrayim, the 80%? Did they really die, or were they just assimilated? It could all mean the same concept as death.
So I would say like this. Maybe. You know, you always have to put like clear lines between what we call pshat and what we call drush, right? You know, mixing the two together might be an Isser of Klein. Like, there's pshat and there's drush, right? When the Torah talks about death, death means death, right? You know, you have chazals, you know, three people are chashiv kemeis. You're right, those people are not really dead. Halakhically, they have some element like a dead person. But when the pasuk says pashtas, the person's dead, he's dead. And this child, pashtas, is dead. And we'll see, obviously, Tosas and other Rishonim not assuming like this. So that's one answer they give. I get nervous now looking at all these clocks. I mean, the clock in the base measure is not working. I'll make sure this one is. So I double checked it is. Okay, perfect. So that's one answer. One answer is that this child wasn't actually dead. You're right, if he wasn't dead, this takes away from the glossy picture of Eliyahu HaNavi of being Mechayim Esim. He wasn't Mechayim Esim over here. Okay? But the pashtos, the simple reading of these psukim, are clearly mashma, though we're not talking about someone who was alive. Mashma, the child, died. A second answer, and this you can find on the bottom of your sheets. In fact, let's read it inside. Is Rabbeinu Bechaye. Rabbeinu Bechaye, one of the Rishonim on Chumash. This is actually here in Parshas Pinchas, where he himself is debating this issue. How could Pinchas be metamei to Zimri? So Rabbeinu Bechaye writes, Tiritz, Shar Tzarfasis, Nachrius Haisa. This almana that Eliyahu was staying by her house was a Nachrius, was a Gentile. Umeise akom einam tamim ba'ohel. And this child wouldn't be metame in ohel. There's a concept of tumas ohel, right? If you're in the same room as a dead body, so we know the halacha would be normally that's an issue, but that primarily is an issue with a Jew, a Jewish dead body. But with a Gentile, Shitas, right, we possibly hold like that it wouldn't be a problem. Where do we know such an idea that Tumas Ohel does not apply to a Gentile? It's actually this same Gemara in Baba Metzia that we're talking about over here. So I'd like to go show you the Gemara. Let's go back to the Gemara there, second Os Beis in the Mar Makomos. Gemara Baba Metzia. Asuche Rabba Baravol El Yo. The Gemara at the bottom of Kufya Dowel in Baba Metzia, towards the end of Baba Metzia, says that Rabba Baravol found El Yo. Dekai the Beis Kvar Shalovi Chachavim. He was walking around Arlington National Cemetery. Some Gentile cemetery. Be careful what I say. I assume there are, unfortunately, plenty of Jews buried there too.
Plenty of stars.
Yeah. So, Rabbi Baravu found Eliyahu in this Gentile cemetery. Interesting where you have to go to find Eliyahu Hanavi. But he found him there. And the Gemara proceeds to add that he asked him a shaila halacha. It's also always good to know. You know, my Rebbeim always said, you always have to have a question prepared just in case you meet a chash of a person. You have a chance to ask him. So he ran it to Eliyahu Navi. Oh, this is a question that I've been wanting an answer for all these years. Right? Tishbi Yitaritz Kushas Vabayos. Right? We all, their Gemara says, they have tough questions. Teku literally means let it stand. But the acronym is Tishbi Yitaritz Kushas Vabayos. That Eliyahu Navi is known as the source to answer all the Talmudic questions that we have will come to times of Mashiach. But if you find Eliyahu Navi today, you could get in your question too. So that's a Rav Ravol. He came across Eliyahu. So he asked him his question. Okay, it's not really relevant for today's share. A shaila involving tzedakah, gemilas chesed. But if you skip to the middle of the page, in the middle of that gemara, excuse me, Amar Lei. So, Rabbi Ravol, after he asked Eliyahu's question and got his answer, Amar Lei Lav Kohenu Mar. Hey, by the way, now that you gave me your answer, Eliyahu, are you a Kohen? So he says, My time a Kohen Mar, Beis Kvaros. What are you doing in the Beis Kvaros? Starting up with Eliyahu Navi. So you see from here, Eliyahu Navi punches back. Amalei, lo masni mar taras. Hey, buddy, you didn't learn Seder Taras? Lo masni mar Seder Taras? You got to know. If you're going to start with Eliyahu Navi, you got to be ready to take it. He says back to him, you call yourself an Amora, a Talmud Chacham? You don't know the halachas of Taras? Ditanya, there's a brisa that says, Rav Shimon bar Yochai Omer, it fits for this week. Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, "Kivreim she'ovi chavim emetamin." The kvarim, the graves of Gentiles are not metama. Shenemar va'atin sonai son marisi adam. That's a pasuk in Yechazkel. We darsh them from the pasuk. Atim kruyim adam, famous drasha. You're called Adam. Vein ovdei kachavim kriyim Adam. But Gentiles are not called Adam. Rav Meir Shapiro once got challenged about this drasha. He had a good response. But the drasha here is Adam is only referring to a Jewish person, not a Gentile. Correct. That's why Rav Meir Shapiro had a good chap to defend.
The concern isn't that they're called Adam or not Adam. Concern is that they produce tumor or not.
Right, correct.
We don't care what they're called.
Right, that's a very good point. Right, this Gemara is defining the issue of tumah by a Gentile. So in terms of tumah, a Gentile is different than a Jew. Doesn't mean, you know, a Gentile we believe also was created, but Selma came in the form of Hashem, and every human being deserves a certain level of dignity, for sure. Yeah? Now, this Gemara itself is really dealing with a similar question like our Tosfos. That how could Eliyahu go and be Metamer Lameis? How could Eliyahu be in the base of Kvaros? How could he be there? So Eliyahu Novi defends himself by saying, hey, don't you know the Halacha and Seder Taros? There's a major difference between a Jew and a Gentile. A Jew has an issue, a Jew passes away, there's Tumas all, but a guy not. Just this past week, someone asked me this question. I think it was last Sunday, someone came to me and was asking me, what's the Halacha about a Kohen being in a hospital if a Gentile passes away? So again, I'm not going fully all elements of Halacha Lamaisa, but just showing you this concept that the Gemara over here in Bamitzi is quoting. There's a major difference between a Jewish body and a Gentile's body. Right? A Jewish body has the concept of Tumas Olam, that if there's a mace in a building, then everyone who comes in contact with that building, even in the awning on the outside, would be problematic. That's all what you call Tumas Olam. But as opposed to a Gentile, that doesn't apply. So if, going back to our original question, if you say that the child of this almana was really a Gentile, because his mother was a Gentile, this lady was a non-Jewish woman, so then there's no problem for Eliyahu to, now here's a tricky step, there would be an issue with what we're talking about is only Tumas Ohel, which is a Tumah when you don't physically come in contact with the body. It's a lower level of Tumah. Rather, the Tumah spreads if you're in the same room or if you be hovering over the body. You're not touching the body, but anywhere near it. Let's say you're on the outside in the airspace, right, and you jump over this body, you lean over this body. It would be the same issue. That's Ohel, right? The canopy of a building, of a roof, of a tent, that's also part of Ohel, but you could be your own Ohel. If you lean over a body, right? You're an EMT or a doctor, and you don't even physically have to touch the body. Just leaning over a body would be a problem of Tumas Ohel. But if you would touch it, that would be a problem according to everybody. So in order to explain this answer, Rabbeinu Bachai takes another step. Firstly, you have to say, three steps. Firstly, you have to say this almana was a Gentile. Step number two is invoke this Gemara in Bava Metzia, Shita of Shin Bar Yochai, that there's no Tumas Ol by a Gentile. And thirdly, you have to say that when the Pasuk talks about Eliyahu sort of laying on this child, right, the Pasuk is very descriptive, that he put his face to his face, his hands to his hands, over this child, he didn't, according to this Teretz, you're going to have to say, he didn't actually touch the child, rather he's just hovering over him. Right. Huh?
Would clothing or a sheet covering the child have helped?
No.
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 Right. That'll still be an all. I mean, they'll be touching, right.
It's a not touching aesthetics of the Almanas
Yes.
Oh,
it's So this is the answer of Rabbeinu Bachaya. That we're dealing with a lady who's not Jewish. There's only a Tumas Ohel issue here because he wasn't touching the child, just hovering over him. And thirdly, the halacha that Tumas Ohel does not apply to a Gentile. That is what Rabbeinu Bachaye wants to offer to explain the case here.
It's a little strange that Tumas had Elijah doing whatever it is, resuscitation on. it seems like the Tav gives no impression that it's a guy, does it?
No. So he did. It wasn't CPR. This is really according to this shot. This is really Tchias HaMeisim. He revived the child. Just he never came in physical contact with the dead child. He was only hovering over it. And even though there's a concept of Tumas Meis Ba'ol, that doesn't apply over here because the child was a Gentile. That's this answer of Bina B'chaya. Yeah. Complicated, but fascinating.
He just wants to know why was he busy reviving
We're reviving the Goyim in the land, but we're not even supposed to have the Goyim in the land. He's going around saving the Goyim.
Okay, excellent. That's a very good point.
They weren't even supposed to be living in the land at the time.
Very good point.
He's a nice guy.
I found quite a few questions on this approach by Rabbeinu B'chaya. And the Radvaz and others ask these questions. The Radvaz is a beautiful tshuva that goes through this whole issue and really deals with a lot of these different answers and with his critiques of each one. So one of the critiques are all different aspects, like changing the face of this woman to be a Gentile changes the story dramatically. You're bringing up, why would Eliyahu do Tchias HaMeisim on a Gentile child, on a Jewish child, Gentile child? Why would he do it? What also was he doing living by a Gentile woman? It's not normal operating
She's
procedures.
Not the one that built the room for him.
It's not the Aliyah Sakir. That's a different story. No. But he also spent time there with her, and she...
That's also an issue.
Right. She took care of him, fed him.
One would think that, at least looking at today's day and age, that politically, if a Jewish Navi ends up causing the death of a non-Jewish child there, the non-Jews might have a very big problem with that, and you might have a much bigger issue on hands.
Okay, very interesting. So you're defending and saying maybe the reasoning to... revive this child was because there'd be some Chil Hashem involved, and that's why you would do it. Okay, perhaps.
Does it matter if once you're already Tame to then go ahead? Meaning, let's say she was Jewish by the other thing, and the big boy was Jewish, and he was already in the Ohel because he lived there, so now he's already Tame. Since he's already Tame because the baby's dead, you just go so over.
Excellent point. Excellent question. But I believe the halachas of Tumah, see, we're really getting to Tumah today, is each additional step is another transgression.
Because it's a little bit of a higher between the
Iyot. Yes, yes. Someone just told me this morning of how they were questioning why Eliyahu had to do like each step in the process, like his face-to-face, hands-to-hands. Each one would be additional aspect of Tumah. So you're right. He could have already been Matami because he lived there, and each step, but our Chazal, each step is more and more Tuma. And it's not, okay, we're Tuma already. Nope. Here you have to be careful for each individual thing. So there's a very interesting, I assume not well known Yerushalmi. I said this over in Yeshiva, and a few of the guys like knew this. I know. Do you know who this child ended up growing up to being? Yonah ben Amittai. This child, the Eliyahu Navi, it's Yerushalmi and Sukkah. This child, talk about unmasking. This child, the Eliyahu Navi, did Tchias HaMeisim on, ended up being Yonah ben Amittai, famous guy swallowed by a whale. We read about him on Yom Kippur, right? Tried to save the city of Nineveh. This is Yonah.
Is the time? It seems like that happened. It was earlier, wasn't it? So I guess I got
the books of the prophets. Yeah.
Is Yonah Jewish?
Same thing with Elisha. Elisha brought this child back.
Right.
And who is that child? Who did he become? It says that Elisha said that a year from now you're going to hold a vacant child by your chest. That child became Chava.
Habakkuk.
The prophet.
Wow.
Come back to life, you're a
Rabbi. If it was Yonah, Yonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because it would have the Jews would have done tshuva, but they did tshuva, so he felt bad, so
right.
Like a Jewish guilt. Like he would, why would he have felt
right?
Bad? He would have been thrilled that the guy.
So the clear pashtus is Yonah ben Amittai, this Navi, was 100% a Jewish person. And to say that, oh, he was a Gentile kid who was Megayer, also doesn't seem to hold water. Because why would the Torah Council refer to him as Yonah ben Amittai, with his father, if he's a Gentile who's Megayer, it's Katan Shano Adami, he's a new person. So the Radvaz therefore says, others say, this teretz of the Rabbeinu Bechaye also doesn't fully add up. It's very hard to say that we're dealing over here with a Gentile. We know the identity of this kid. As you said, it's so beautifully.
Unless,
right?
Unless you hold, he was
Elio went out of his way to Mechaya Mason. Boy, did something special come out of that child. Just like his Talmud, Elisha, when he was Mechaya Mason. Amazing. So we're back to our question. If we can't accept the Shita's answer, we found a fault in the Shita's answer of saying that the child is just a goses, pashas is the child died. Rabbeinu Bechaye's answer that the child was a son of a Gentile also doesn't add up. So back to square one. Beautiful.
The vav is split.
Right.
The
vav is split.
So how can that be a kosher?
It's
say if the letter is
not split. The Torah is puzzled if the vav is not split because it's supposed to be split. That's the way it was given by Hashem.
Really?
But that's a perfect example of what it means, you know, an incomplete piece.
That's
you know, we're constantly looking for the complete piece, not the incomplete piece. Yes. So I'll give you one more answer from the Rishonim before we get back to Tosos. There's a Tosos Arush, it happens to be the Radvaz in the back, says it also. Radvaz says this is his favorite answer of all his answers. If you look in the middle paragraph in the back, Teretz Nosif Nevi HaRadvaz, Hachiyos Ben Atzurafas, Adel Yo, Harosh Shahaisa. It was a special din. And this is along the lines of what people really mentioned before. Kedeshi is Kadashim Shemayim al Yado. To bring about a Kiddush Hashem, or to protect Chas Hashem, that there shouldn't be a Chilul Hashem. This was Harasha. Really, if we're studying this at home, don't practice this. You can't be Matamal Mace to be Mechayim Mesim. But Elio, hey, if you have the powers to do Tchias Mesim, and you're a Navi, so Hashem whispers in your ear, this time you're allowed to do it. You got a green light, you do it. For any other case, you can't do it. So that's seemingly a clear answer. That, hey, Hashem tells you to do it. This is a special scenario. Harasha literally means it's a harah. It's a psak just for this time. Sometimes the rabbis, Chazal, understand that we have to make a special din because otherwise we'll have problems, otherwise there'll be issues. So this is specific for this scenario, one-time allowance to be metamel amazed to bring this about, but any other time not. Okay, nice answer, simple answer. The child is still Jewish, the child was still dead. You can read the psukim, kipshuto. How could Eliyahu do this? Special permission.
Papal dispensation.
Yes.
Rabbi, where does this come up in Tanakh?
This is Malachim Aleph, Perak Yud Zayin.
Malachim.
Right? And this is not the one in the Haftorah. The Haftorah is the other story. You know, Felicia, the other one with Elio. But yeah. Now, I would like to go back now and do Tosis' answer. Tosis's answer to this question is not easy to understand. I'll go through a few questions on it. And I came across a few very fundamental answers to explain Tosis. So let's read Tosis again. Again, the question is, how could, on the first part of your sheets, Os Gimel, how could Eliyahu be Mechayim Mesim of this child? He was a Kohen, and there's Tumas Mesim involved. So V'yesh Lomar, let's read carefully the language of Tosis. Shahaya Barlo, it was clear to him, he was sure, Sheyichyehu, that he would revive him. L'kach hayamutter mishum bekuach nefesh. And therefore, it's mutter because of a din, bekuach nefesh is docha the Torah. Just like, Chas Hashem, somebody's sick on Shabbos, you call Hatzalah, you call 911, you can do whatever you can to save a person. Bekuach nefesh is docha Shabbos, docha kol Torah kula. So to over here, to save this child, bekuach nefesh, is docha. It pushes off other mitzvos. Eliyahu Navi was sure that he'd be able to save him. Bekuach nefesh is docha. What do you say about that? That's a good point. What was asked was, there's a concept bekuach nefesh, you could do whatever you can to save someone's life. That's when the person's alive and you try to save him from being dead. Who said there's a concept that once someone's dead, you're allowed to go and save him? Right? This is extraordinary. This is Eliyahu Navi doing Tchias HaMesim. Who says you're allowed to do that? Now, I didn't have a chance to check this up. It's a very interesting medical shiloh. I have people in the room. Let's say a person flatlines, person dies. Is there any normative medical care that is done within the first few moments after a person dies to see if they can revive him? He's dead. Huh?
CPR and shock.
So CPR and shock. So that, now I assume there, right, that's partial. I assume we would do that on Shabbos too, right? Bekuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. So a person dies, quote-unquote, right?
The question is, how do you define dead?
Right.
This becomes, that's a very big halakhic shadow. What point is the person being dead?
Correct. But that step, that you have a few moments after the person seemingly is gone to revive him, that I think is pashtus part of bekuach nefesh. Pashtus. But what we're talking about over here, this child was already dead. Right? We're not talking moments after the child died. The child was already clearly dead. The only way that Eliyahu Navi was able to bring the child back to life would be performing what we call Tchias HaMesim. CPR is not Tchias HaMesim. It's a wonderful thing. Shock therapy. It's not Tchias HaMesim because you have a window of time where you can still latch back on. But what Eliyahu Navi over here was doing was the child was dead. He's trying to revive him back. Who said there's a concept of pikuach nefesh that far? We know it would go moments after the person passes, but beyond that, what right do you have to do it? Who said pikuach nefesh is docha the Torah in this scenario? That's one question the Mefarshim asked on Tosos. Now, really connected with this, I found last night there's a Shal Shuvah's Dovev Misharim. I didn't have a chance to put on your sheet. He asked a similar question that the Rambam holds. This is also interesting. Allah Lamaisa. What he calls Refuah Segulis, a non-conventional form of healing. Is that included in Pikuach Nefesh Docha Shabbos? Very interesting. Right? This also, I did not have a chance to check out Halacha Maisa, what we say, but it seems it would fit in the Rambam Shita, it would not work. When we say Bekuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos, Docha Kol Torah Kula, that's only if you're doing normative medical treatment. Let's say you're doing something which is Indian medicine, which is like far out.
Voodoo.
Is that, huh?
Voodoo.
Acupuncture, I don't know.
That's accepted pretty normal, especially even in America.
Okay, I gotta be careful.
Voodoo?
Right?
No, I'm saying witchcraft.
Yeah. Let's say witchcraft is
sorcery.
Yeah. Let's say very strange, very far out.
New Orleans medicine.
Okay. Good. Not in our neighborhood. Right?
Chicken heads.
Right. Let's say you have some wild means of healing. Would that be allowed on Shabbos to help a person who's sick? Would you say Pekuach Nefesh, Docha Shabbos, and perform, I'll cut off the head of the chicken and wave it in front of this guy? So the Rambam says, absolutely not. Pekuach Nefesh, Docha Shabbos does not apply to wild healing processes. That being said,
I suspect most of the things the Rambam suggests as Ezra Kuhl, we would probably call wild and far out.
Okay.
He wrote a whole book, a whole thing on, I think, and he was a rogue. Most of the things he probably did, we would call far out.
Right. See, you're right. If we go into a study of the medical practices in the time of the Rambam, we even go from the Gemara, right? We all know about bloodletting. Gemara, that was like the biggest deal. Nowadays, we don't exactly do it, but you know, who knows? It'll swing around again.
The difference between Chinese medicine and Western medicine would each consider each far out.
Right, so I don't know the practical parameters. What do we consider part of normative medicine? What is what you call far out? You call Far East medicine. Okay? But the Rambam Shita is whatever fits into the category of Refuah Segulis is not Docha Shabbos. So therefore they asked the question, hey, how could Eliyahu do Tchias HaMesim? Tchias HaMesim is not normative medicine. That much you would agree.
No, that's...
So using that, I saw other people answer back. Who said the Rambam has to fit with Tosos? The Rambam could give maybe one of these other answers the Rishonim give. Maybe you could say it's Haral Shah. But either way, the basic question... Oh, I'm going to get to that in a moment. Hold on. But the basic first question we have here on Tosos is who said the concept, we know that the concept of Pekuach Nefesh, Docha Shabbos, Docha Kol Torah Kula, that concept exists by doing normative means to save someone's life. Here the person is already dead. So why, Tosos, who said it's a concept to the mitzvah of Pekuach Nefesh over here? Secondly, and this is also a very important halacha, the halacha is Hilchos Shabbos, somebody's sick. Even if there's a suffix, there's a small chance by you rushing to the hospital and being Mechal Shabbos, you'll save his life. Suffix Pekuach Nefesh is Hilchos Shabbos. As long as there's a chance that by taking medical action, you're going to help the person, 100% that's Hilchos Shabbos. So why does our Tosos, when he explains why Eliyahu Navi did it, Tosos throws in the line, Shayabara lo sheyichyehu. He was certain that he would save him. Why do you need that? Even without that, once you grant as it didn't be Kuach Nefesh, the halacha is even Suffolk B'Kuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos and Docha other Yisroel. So the first will also struggle, why does Tosos say that? There's a chidah that says Lav Davka, Tosos means even Suffolk, it just happened to be, he was sure about it. But Pashtos, Tosos is writing his words very pointed, very... So what's pshat? So these are two questions that Mefarshim asked in Tosos. Where do we see a concept of Pekuach Nefesh for Tchias HaMesim? And why does it have to be Vadai? So I came across late yesterday, also didn't have a chance to put it on the sheets, Rav Moshe Feinstein's Igros Moshe. This is not, the piece itself is not on this case, but he throws it in Agav Orcha. He brings up this Tosos. And Rav Moshe seemingly is struggling with the first question, that how is it you could do Pekuach Nefesh for Tchias HaMesim? Listen to Ramosha's answers. Fascinating answers. Ramosha gives two options. Ramosha says the reason why Eliyahu HaNavi was able to do this was not Pekuach Nefesh of the dead child. Ramosha's first suggestion is Pekuach Nefesh of the mother of the child. The anxiety that she was having, the anguish that she was having over her child dying after this whole scenario, for that, Eliyahu was able to be docha tuma. It wasn't pikuach nefesh of the child. Rav Moshe Feinstein says it was pikuach nefesh of the mother of the child. Wow. Wow. That's very interesting. Right? Even in a scenario where there's no din pikuach nefesh on a child, Rav Moshe is suggesting in this piece. Again, I would like to see how people take this true for Rav Moshe. He says this in passing, sort of to knock off, if you might want to attack him from something he was saying based on this Tosos. He says, no, this is a pshat. But Rav Moshe says there's room to say that you could do Pikuach Nefesh, Docha Shabbos, could be for the mother, not the child. Secondly, Rav Moshe goes a step further. He says, even if it wasn't for the child, or even if it wasn't for the mother, there's a din pikuach nefesh for Eliyahu himself. What do you mean? Because since this whole thing, what was the taina, the claim this woman had? Eliyahu, because you put me in this situation, that's why this bad thing befell me. Either I didn't treat you as well, or because Hashem is judging me, midas hadin, compared to you. So sort of because Eliyahu was involved in this situation with this woman, so this horrible thing happened. And as a leader, you know, leaders take the burdens of people's sorrows quite seriously. Especially if they played a role, at least according to the woman's taina, about it. And Rav Moshe says, perhaps this was bikuach nefesh for Eliyahu HaNavi. Amazing, amazing shot from Moshe Feinstein. So I'm not sure. Excellent point. Does Bikuach Nefesh means he was going to die from the anxiety? Or does it mean it would hit him emotionally? I don't know. But this is a fascinating, fascinating idea for Moshe Feinstein. Interesting. Right, the way he writes it, the lashon of his mashma, not that he was afraid she was going to kill him, but his own inner anguish over what was going on would affect him. Would it actually kill him, or would it incapacitate him? You know, great people. This is what we call in yeshiva a shmooze. Great people, even Eliyahu HaNavi, according to Moshe Feinstein, could have been so challenged by such a situation. Or cause him such anguish. You know, Rav Moshe throws in a line there. He says, putting aside, you know, Hilchas Bitachon. But it'll affect him, it'll hurt him. I'm just flashing in my mind. We gave a share earlier this year about Rabbi Vadi Yosef and the challenges that people attacked him with things. And it says there, you know, this one of Talmidim writes that he went through a period of time where he was extremely depressed and life was a big struggle. That's people are human. The greatest, the biggest of people, you put them in a situation, it can be quite challenging. So this Rav Moshe, you can look it up. It's Igros Moshe, Yerodea, Chelek Beis, Simon Kuf, Ayin Dalid, first piece, Anaf Aleph. Amazing piece of Rav Moshe. It's towards the end of that, Anaf Aleph. But two amazing pshatim for Rav Moshe explaining this Tosos. I'd like to end with a pshat that I found from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. And this is also a major, very, very interesting idea. Bachanan Wasson, now, before I get to Bachanan's pshat, I should point out, Rav Moshe's pshat answers well the first question. Has pikuach nefesh doche tuma over here? The child was already dead. Who said it's part of pikuach nefesh? So Rav Moshe can explain that first question. But his pshat doesn't really answer the second question of why did Tosfos have to say that it was vadai that he would live. But in contrast, Rabbi Hanan gives an answer, and he says a major idea. When we say the concept that pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos or docha yisurim, it's not the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh. It's just a plain, simple human value of life. Let's say this is a scenario, there's no mitzvah pikuach nefesh. But bringing back life, that pikuach nefesh docha Shabbos is not the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh. It's the plain humanistic value, I have life here. So that would be true, one second, even in a case where the child already dies. There's no mitzvah pikuach nefesh, because you're right. The mitzvah pikuach nefesh is save a child, save from his life, who's not yet dead. But the din of pikuach nefesh, that docha, that pushes aside Shabbos or other mitzvahs, is just plain and simple to have people alive in this world. So even someone who passed on would have that. Now, it could be that's why you need the vadai. When do we say safek pikuach nefesh is docha? Maybe that's because of the mitzvah. But here, Rabbi Chaim is saying just a chance that you'd be able to breathe life into a child, bring that child back to life. You never know what that child could become. As was mentioned before, right? This child ended up becoming Yonah ben Amittai. So for that, we suspend laws of Torah to give back life. So from this amazing story in Tanakh, Eliyahu Navi reviving a child, it's so beautiful how the Bali Tosos and the Rishon debate, halakhically, how are you able to do this? You could be Eliyahu Navi and have the power, the wand of Tchias HaMesim, but everything has to be Al Pi Halacha. How can you do it? You're a Kohen, Tumas Meis. So we have the Shita's answer, Rabbi Mechaya's answer, Tosos Rosh's answer, and finally Tosos' answer with Rav Moshe and Rabbi Hanan's Pshatim and how to explain it. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful week.